Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now you may have your seats in the presence of our life-changing King. Good morning. As Pastor Janice was saying, God gave her last month to do a series on matters of the heart. And when she first came to me, and I got kind of excited. So y'all that know me, I normally don't get excited about ministering the word. I normally get scared and fear grip my heart, all that kind of stuff. But I got kind of excited. I said, okay. I said, you remember the first message that I ever ministered here, that I ever ministered anywhere, it was ministered here, but it was called Matters of the Heart. And I said, okay, I'm familiar with that subject. You know, God can just breathe on it, see what he's saying now concerning the subject. But as I begin to inquire of the Lord and just sit in his presence, he actually took me a different direction. So I'm not going to be re-ministering that message that I ministered before, but this is, I believe, from the heart of God. It is a rhema word, a right now word. It's something that pertains to all of us, not just the women, as Pastor Janice said, but this is a life-changing word for all of us. Amen? Okay, so our foundational scripture will be found in Proverbs 4 and 23. Let's turn there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Pastor Ron teaches out of the King James Version. I kind of like the NLT, the New Living Translations. I know a lot of you may have the King James Version. So I will be, when I read the scripture, I'll be reading both. I'll read the King James Version, and then I may go to the NLT. For me, the NLT just provides some further clarifications. It just makes me understand it easy. So I may be reading two versions of the scriptures today. Amen? Okay, Proverbs 4 and 23, King James, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When I began to inquire of the Lord, when I began to sit, that's the first thing that came to me, and I was like, okay, I thought it was going to be something else, but okay, let's go with that. When I looked it up in the NLT, I really liked it. Well, I'm going to read all three. NIV, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. Amen? And I particularly like the NLT, the New Living Translation, for it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Amen? So when I began to look at even all three of these versions, the NIV and the NLT versions, it says guard your heart. Guard your heart. We're talking about matters of the heart this morning. And my subtitle is called Guard Your Heart. So the NIV and the NLT versions, it says guard your heart. And guard is a stronger word than keep. And the King James Version said keep your heart. So when I read that, guard kind of jumped out at me. It's a stronger word than keep. And so if I would say, Ariel, can you keep this for me? Or if I say, Ariel, I need you to guard this for me. She'll be like, Okay, what's that? What's that? What's up with this? You know what I'm saying? It's a stronger word. So it means something else, right? It puts you in a different mindset. So guard as a noun, as a noun. Remember back in elementary school, noun is a person, place, or thing. So as a noun, guard is defined as a person or a body of persons on military duty, on sentinel or military duty, okay? As a verb, which is that action word, guard is defined as a defensive state or attitude in the act of protecting or defending, okay? So if we look back at our scripture, Proverbs 4:23, we can read that and say, protect or defend your heart above all else. Protect or defend your heart, for it determines the course of your life. Okay?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so now most of us in this room are associated, affiliated in some kind of way with the military. Amen? Now, soldiers are very, as soldiers, I was a soldier in the U.S. Army. Soldiers, we were very familiar with guard duty, right? And for those of you that were not in the military, guard duty was exercises and a part of our military training to prepare us for deployment. It normally occurred overnight, middle of the night, when you're supposed to be sleeping. They would have you pull guard duty. And your guard duty, part of your guard duty, you needed to be alert,
that's right,
attentive,
yeah,
ready to protect,
uh-huh,
ready to defend your perimeter. You had a perimeter that you were guarding. Okay. So for the soldiers and the veterans in the house, I'm going to take you back down memory lane. Okay, some of us got to travel farther than other ones, but we're going to all get there. Amen. So I'm going to go back to basic training. That's why I said some of us got to travel farther than the other. From day one, they begin to drill in us and indoctrinate us with 3 general orders. Y'all remember that?
Yes,
3 general orders. And at any given time, a drill sergeant or an instructor could come up to us and we had to recite. They might say, what's your second general order?
Right.
What's your first general order? And you had better recite that general order or you find yourself pushing up the ground. Drop. They would be like, drop. You'd be like, wait, drill sergeant, I know that if you didn't say it fast enough, if they think you didn't know, they'd be like, drop, give me some push-ups, right? Okay, so I went back and looked up. I was like, God, where are we going with this? I went back and I looked up that first general order. And this is what it says. Y'all going to remember it as I say it. It says, I will guard everything within the limit of my post and quit my post only when properly relieved, right? Right? That brings back memories? Okay, I'm going to get back to the scripture in a minute, but I want y'all to see something. God kind of highlighted something to me as I was writing this out. The end of that first general order, it says, I will quit my post only when properly relieved, okay? So as I stated earlier, when we were on guard duty, it was usually overnight. So say if I had guard duty from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m., is usually how it happened. We had guard duty in shifts. So once 4 a.m. came, my shift was over. I couldn't just say, okay, I'm done, my clock out. I'm gonna go back and get them last 2 hours of sleep. No, it didn't work like that. I will quit my post only when properly relieved. So if my relief, the person pulling guard duty from 4 to 6 a.m., if they overslept, If they were running late,
right.
If they were just trying to be rebellious, I ain't going. I had to stay on duty. Right? I had to stay on duty. I couldn't just clock out and say my shift was over. Okay. So, let's look back at Proverbs 4 and 23. And I'm going to be reading out of NLT. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Now, when I looked at that, there's no time period associated with that. There's no guard your heart from Monday to Friday, or guard your heart when you're around unsafe people. It don't say that. It says guard your heart. So what that speaks and communicate to me that, just like with my first general order, I am to remain on duty. I am to always guard my heart because it determines the course of my life. It determines the course of your life. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Now, concerning our hearts, just like guard duty, we must stay attentive, we must stay alert, we must be ready to protect and to defend. Now, in the military, when you were on alert, you were in a whole different mindset. You weren't lollygagging, you were focused. You were intentional about where your goings and comings. You weren't just hanging out. Okay, and I'm going to show you why. I'm going to show you how that pertains to this scripture. Let's turn over to 1 Peter 5 and 8. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The scripture reads, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay, I'm going to read that out of a couple of different more translations. The NIV says, be alert and be of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. The New Living Translation reads, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. See, the devil is always looking. Ain't no time period associated with that either. So he's always on the prowl. He's always on the prowl. And he's going to attack us at one point or another, but we don't want to give him any ammunition. See, because the enemy, see, he knows he's already defeated. He's already defeated. So when he attacks us, he'll attack you when you're vulnerable. When you're vulnerable, when you're not focused, when you're not paying attention. That's when the enemy will come. So we have, just like he's always on the prowl, we have to be always on alert concerning our heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so I want to look at, I'm going to give you some definitions of the physical heart, and then we're going to look at the spiritual heart. The physical heart, his function and its purpose. Now, the natural heart or the physical heart, it's a primary vital organ in our body. Our heart's main function is to move the blood throughout our bodies. Amen? It controls the rhythm and speed of our heart rate. and it maintains our blood pressure. So, the heart is pretty important. It's vital. Vital. Vital means we need it. If our heart ceases to function, if our heart ceases to operate, guess what? We cease to live. There's no more. I'm talking naturally. Naturally. Okay? Okay, keep that in mind. That's the physical heart. The physical heart. Now, we know, we have been taught that, I think Ariel said it this morning, God is a spirit. God is spirit. Let's turn over to John 4 and 24. John 4 and 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Okay? So I'm going to take us to a couple of scriptures. We just laying a foundation here. We're laying a foundation. God is spirit. Now let's go over to Genesis 1 and 26. Amen. Genesis 1 and 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth under the earth." Okay, so we've established that number one, God is spirit. Okay, number two, we are spirit. If we're created in his image, after his likeness, we are spirit. Amen? We are spiritual beings having an earthly encounter. Okay, the real us is spirit. I want y'all to keep that in mind. I think we know that. But the real us, you know, we are spirit. We have a soul. We live in the body. So the real us is spirit. Amen? So when the Bible talks about the heart, the Bible is referring to our spiritual heart, the real us, the heart. Just like the natural heart is a vital organ, our spiritual heart is the center of our spiritual being. The heart contains the issues of life. It is the seat of our emotions and the foundation of our belief system. Vital, vital, vital to us spiritually. Remember how we receive salvation. Let's turn over real quick to Romans 10, 9 and 10. Foundation of our belief system, our heart. Verse 9 says that if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay? The heart and the mouth. This morning, we are talking about matters of the heart. We're talking about guarding our heart. Let's take a look at a couple of more scriptures that's going to line up this heart and this mouth. Let's turn over to Luke 6 and 45. Amen, amen. Okay, Luke 6 and 45. It reads, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's one of my favorite scriptures too. Okay, I'm going to read this a couple of different ways. The NIV reads, a good man bringeth good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man bringeth forth evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Amen? Amen? Okay, NLT. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say is what is in your heart. Okay. So there is a direct connection between what's in your heart and what you are saying. Have you ever been listening to a person? You know, they might have a smile on, they might be quoting scriptures, they might be saying all the right things, but you're listening, you're not talking, just let them talk. You're listening, but you hear something else. You might hear hurt, you might hear disappointment, you might even hear anger. Don't be deceived. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. That's just the way God designed it. He designed it this way. I'm not reading a biology book. I'm reading the scripture. This is the way he designed it. This is the way he designed it. So remember that. Yeah, that's just the way he designed it. What's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. So we're talking about guarding our heart this morning. Amen. Guard in our heart. Let's go over to Matthew 15. Okay, and I'm going to read a verse of scripture. I'm going to read these. I'm going to read from 10 to 20. So I'm actually going to read all of these out of the NLT. Okay, let's go. Matthew 15, verses 10. Then Jesus called to the crowd and said, come and hear. Listen, he said, and try to understand. It is not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you realize that you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? The Pharisees were the religious people. Of the time, you know, they were the Bible scholars and the religious people, but they didn't have a revelation who Jesus was. But so they're saying, do you realize, you know, you offended the Pharisees? Listen to what Jesus said. He replied, he said, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father is going to be uprooted. So ignore them. Don't worry about them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person guides another blind person, they are both going to fall in the ditch. Okay? Pay attention to who you're listening to. Amen. Then Peter said, Jesus, explain to us this parable that says we're not defiled by what we eat. And I'm going to stop right there. Because did Jesus say that? Did Jesus say we're not defiled by what we eat? Look back up at verse 11. Jesus says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. Now, Peter, he's talking about food. Natural. Natural. Jesus is teaching spiritual principles. They were in two different atmospheres. And so a lot of times, that's where we are. We think naturally. We think carnally. And as, what did I say, we spiritual beings having that earthly encounter, the real us is spirit. So we need to be operating spiritually. Remember Pastor Ron is teaching. I remember when he said it last year. And it was just like a clarion call. It's like it was echoing. I remember that morning I woke up and it's just like it was echoing in my ear. I'm like, okay, God, what are you saying? But he said, we need to start operating more spiritually. We just operating naturally. We need to start operating more spiritually. And so remember, we are spirit, we are soul, and we have a body. So I like to put it like this. Before we get saved, we always have a spirit. But before we get saved, our spirit man is not born again. So he's kind of just lying there dormant. So you got your body and you got your soul. Your soul is your mind, your emotions, and your will. So before you get saved, I like to say your soul is in charge. Just running things. Carnal. Just think it carnally. So when you get born again, now your spirit man is alive unto God. But because you don't know nothing yet. You're a babe. Your soul, let's say you're 35 years old. Your soul been operating for 35 years. 35 years, I'm in charge. Now, we learn that, okay, I'm a spirit. My spirit needs to take dominion. My spirit needs to be... The soul will rise up against you. That's that internal war, that internal struggle that's always going to be going on within us. That's why we have to feed our spirit. We have to grow up spiritually. What is... I think I'm getting ahead of myself. I may be getting ahead of myself. Word of knowledge, what is our theme for this year? Okay, right, stop right there. Elevating our spiritual growth. That means growing up spiritually. Keep going. By the word of God. How are we going to do this? By reading, by feeding, by staying in the word of God. And then guess what? We have help. What's the last part? By way of the Holy Spirit. You see, we have to feed our spirit man so that our spirit man can be in control. Because we're talking about matters of the heart. It determines your course of life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so we have the Holy Spirit. As we're elevating our spiritual growth this year by the word of God, by means of the Holy Spirit is our helper. He is here to help us. Don't be prideful or ashamed to ask for help. This is what he came here to do, to lead us and to guide us into all truth. I remember when I was in junior college. I was taking college algebra. Oh, that was my last class. And the reason it was such a struggle for me is because I didn't take algebra in high school. We had a choice. They were saying, okay, if you're going to college, you need to take D's. You need to take algebra, geometry, calculus. But if you're not going to college, you can take this business math. So at the time, I wasn't going to college. So I didn't take algebra. So when I got into college algebra, I didn't have a frame of reference to pull it. It was just all new. It was all new. And we had these study groups, and these kids, I call them kids because they were like 18, 19, just out of high school, and I was in my 30s. And they were just going so fast, and then it would be like, oh, I know a different way to learn it, something different than the instructor. I'd be like, hold on, I took notes from this way. So when I go back to study, so I was just like, they didn't help me. It just made it worse. So now I got all these two or three different ways to solve a problem that I didn't know. But I remember I went to the altar on Sunday. I said, God, I need help. I did. I'm just honest. Wasn't no shame in my game. I said, I need help with this algebra. I don't know what I'm doing. Guess what? He helped me. And he will help you. That's what he's here for. And that's what's something in the natural. How much more is he going to help us with spiritual things? Amen. With spiritual things. Amen? Amen. Amen. So when you're reading the word, we elevate our spiritual growth this year through the word of God. So as we're reading the word, as we're studying the word, ask God to open your spiritual eyes. Ask him to open your spiritual ears that you can see what he's saying and that you hear what he's saying and that you're not just reading the scriptures from a carnal mindset. Amen? Amen. Amen. Okay, so now let's get back to the scriptures where Peter was asking Jesus to explain how we're not defiled by the words that we eat. I think we're in verse 16. We're going to pick back up at verse 16. So Jesus says, don't you understand yet? Jesus asks, anything that passes through your stomach and goes into the sewer, or we can say the toilet, anything that you eat, amen? But the words you speak come from your heart. That's what defiles you. It's not the food. It's not the pork. It's not the pork. It's not the pig that defiles you. He said the words that you speak. Okay. He said from the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, slander. This is what defiles you. Not eating with unwashed hands, or that will never defile you, he says. Amen? So, how do we guard our hearts? How do we guard our hearts? We guard our hearts by guarding our words. We saw there's a direct connection. Amen? There's a direct connection between your heart and your mouth. So we guard the words that we say. We're on alert to what's coming out of our mouth. We're paying attention to our words. We're ready to protect and defend what is coming out of our mouth. Don't just let anything come out of your mouth. Amen? Control your mouth. Control your mouth. It doesn't matter. Listen, it doesn't matter if you are angry. Control your mouth. Let's look over at Ephesians 4 and 26. Ephesians 4:26. It says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So even when we're angry, we have to control our mouth. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask the Holy Spirit that it's possible. Because if he's telling us to do it, that means it can be done. Didn't say it was going to be easy, but it can be done. Do you guys remember the fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians? Let's turn over there right quick. Galatians 5 and 22. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such law, against such, there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. We spiritual beings. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Do y'all know what that last fruit is? Temperance. Do y'all know what that means? Self-control. Self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So, we're talking about controlling our mouth. Self-control means me controlling my mouth. Okay, see, I can't control Donald's mouth. I can't control Angela's mouth. I can, nor am I responsible. I'm not responsible for her mouth. I am responsible for my mouth. Focus on you. Don't look at nobody else. This is a self-examination message. Look at you. We cannot control somebody else's mouth. So we just focus on us. That's what self-control means. Me controlling my mouth. Remember the foundational scripture, Proverbs 4 and 23. Guard your heart above all else. We're going to guard it by controlling our mouth. For it determines the course of your life. Okay? So I want to look at a few more scriptures. Let's look over at James and 3. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about this mouth. I used to work with Angela at she's a nurse practitioner now, but she's a nurse. She had this, when she would talk in medical terms. And she would have this medical term for mouth, and I'd be like, okay. I thought about that last night when I was putting this together, I couldn't remember what that medical term was, but she used to always talk to me in medical terms. Amen. Okay, let's start at James 3 and 3. And I'm going to read from verses 3 down to verse 10, and I am going to be reading this out of the New Living Translation. Verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. A small bit is, that's those little things they put in the horse's mouth, and they're attached to the reins, so you can control the horse like that. We can make a large horse go anywhere we want by these small bits. They're really small. And a small rudder makes a huge ship to turn wherever the pilot chooses to. Even though the winds may be strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Talking about the tongue. We're talking about our tongue this morning. Verse 6 reads, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire. Your tongue set your whole life on fire. Remember, what's coming out of your mouth controls the course of your life. Your tongue can set your whole life on fire. This is why we gotta guard it. We gotta pay attention. Give heed to it. Pay attention to what's coming out of our mouth. Be intentional about our words. Amen? Verse 7. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can contain the tongue. This is Bible. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Remember, blessings, life and death is in the power of the tongue. Remember? Sometimes it praises the Lord, and sometimes it curses those who have been created in God's image. So that means on Sunday, I'm praising God. On Monday, I'm cussing out man. That's the scripture. I just say it. That's the scripture. Verse 10. And so, blessings and cursings coming out of the same mouth, surely, brothers and sisters, this is not right. This is not right. We're talking about matters of the heart. We're talking about guarding our heart. We're talking about controlling our mouth. Amen? So, what do we do? Verse 8 says, no one can tame the tongue. What do we do? Are we left without hope? Are we just, okay, well, we can't do it anyway, so we just might as well give up. Remember, we have a helper. We have a helper. We're spiritual beings. The Holy Spirit came back to help us. Amen? Amen. Okay. This is what we're going to do. Number one, ask for help. Don't be pride. The same way I could have been prideful in that college algebra class. Look, I'm 35 years old. I'm not asking for no help. I ain't asking these kids when I'm 30 years old. I would have failed. Ask for help. Put your pride aside. Ask for help. We need help. Let's go over to John 14 and 26. King James read, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto to you. The NIV reads, but the Helper. See, the Holy Spirit is our helper. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance, all things that I have said. But the part I want you to get, he is the helper. He's come to help us. He is sent back here to help us. But what it involves is us yielding our will to him. He's not going to take over. He's not going to take over. But it's a voluntary thing. As we yield to him, as we give him permission, he will help us. See, you might be in an argument with somebody, and you'd be like, I'm going to get him a piece of my mind. Nope. Keep all the pieces. We need all the pieces. We don't have no mind to be giving away. We need all of our mind. We need all the pieces. Keep all the pieces. No. Ask him to help. Ask him to help. And he'll do that. See, when we ask him to help, no, that's the next scripture. I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, let's go. Let's also go to James 1 and 5. Staying on course. Amen. James 1 and 5. This is a familiar passage of scripture for most of us. It reads that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. I like the NLT. It says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. So he's not going to be mad at you for asking. He knows we need help. God knows we need help. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit to help. Ask. Number one, ask for help. Number two, renew your mind with the word of God. Remember earlier I was talking about we have to feed our spirit so our spirit man can get stronger. And that's one of the ways we're going to elevate our spiritual growth this year. Let's go over to Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The NLT version reads, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. See, over in James, they said, you can't contain the tongue. But God, when we renew our mind. See, when we renew our mind, we're feeding on the word of God. We're doing two things. We're feeding our spirit, man, spiritual food. And we're changing the way we think. That's that soul. The mind, the will, and emotion. As we read the word and find out what the word, we're renewing our mind. So the way, don't copy the pattern of this world. Don't be conformed to this world. So the way we used to do things before we got saved, we used to operate a certain way. This is the way the world do it. They underhanded, they cutthroat, they lie, cheat, steal, all of that. But when we come into the kingdom of God, we're in his kingdom. We don't continue to operate like that. We don't continue to emulate that. We have to get into the word of God and see what God has for us. The scriptures, I don't know where it is, but the scripture said there's that we have a new way of living. We have a new way of living, and we have to live that way. So as we renew our mind, even our soul will be transformed. And this says it will change the way you think. It'll change the way we think. And we're going to be able to control that mouth. Amen? See, when our minds are renewed, we see differently. We begin to operate differently. We begin to operate from the spiritual realm and not just this natural, carnal realm. Pastor Ron said, we need to start operating spiritually. We need to be more spiritually focused. We're in this world, yes. We're in a natural world. We're in a carnal world. But we are spiritual beings, so we operate spiritually. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's turn to Psalms 119 and 11. Amen. The The scripture reads, thy word, the word of God, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. See, we have to put the word of God in our heart. Because remember, it's what comes, flows from your heart, that comes out of your mouth, is what defiles you. So hide the word in your heart. We got to put his word in our heart. So then when you open your mouth to speak, you won't be defiled. Amen? Isn't that good? I thought that was awesome. if we put the word of God in our, because they said we can't contain the tongue. If I put the word of God in my mouth, if only the word of God is in my heart, when I open my mouth to speak, that's what's going to come out. Yeah, if y'all remember this, I'm going to use this example. Before we got saved, like if you stumped your toe or something, a cuss word might have came out. Because that's what was in our hearts. Now, when I stump my toe, you know what comes out? I start praying in the spirit. Shows up like quarterback. That's what's in my heart. What's in your heart will come out. See, I didn't know I was going to pray in the spirit, but as I hurt myself, that's what's in my heart, so that's what comes out. Put the word of God in your heart. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's turn over to John 6 and 63. John 6 and 63 reads, it is the spirit that quickens the flesh. For it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The NIV reads, the spirit alone gives eternal life. Human efforts accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken, they are spirit and are life. So when we put the word of God in our hearts, when we open our mouths to speak, not only when we speak his words, not only are we not defiling ourselves, but we're speaking life-changing words. When we speak to people, we're speaking life into their situations. We're speaking life into their circumstances. Amen. Put the word of God. Put the word of God in your heart, family. Okay, let's turn over to Psalms. This is scripture I was trying to get to. Psalms 141 and 3. 3 and 4. Okay, Psalms 141:3-4. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Okay, let me read this out of the NIV. This is the NIV. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil, so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. You see again, we see this heart-mouth connection. You see that? See, verse 3 says, set a guard over my mouth. But then down in verse 4, it goes on to say, why? Why you want the guard set? Don't let my heart be drawn to evil. Don't let my heart be drawn to it. There's a heart-mouth connection. We got to get this morning. See, and what happens is, see, James said we couldn't tame the tongue. But this is a prayer. We can pray this. God, set a guard over my mouth. And see, what's going to happen when we do that? He ain't going to shut your mouth up like he did those lions. Remember how he shut the mouths of the lion and they couldn't attack? He's not going to do that. He's not going to do that. This is what he's going to do. And I know because I'm talking from experience here. You may get ready to say something. You may be in heated fellowship with your spouse or somebody else. You're going to say something, and the Holy Spirit will say, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't do that. That's not going to help. That's not going to help the situation. Don't do it. K-Y-M-S. Keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. See, remember I talked about we have to yield. As he tell me that, I'm hearing that. I got a choice. I can yield my will and keep my mouth shut. Or I can just give him the peace of my mind. See, it's a cooperation. The Holy Spirit has come to help us. We give him permission, but we got to cooperate with him. He's not going to force us. He ain't going to put no tape over our mouth. He will speak in your ear. He'll speak in your heart. Don't say that. Don't do that. And we yield to that. And doing that, guess what? We're growing up spiritually. We're growing up spiritually. We're elevating our spiritual growth. We're yielding to the Spirit. We're operating in the Spirit and not the flesh. The flesh want to tell him peace of my mind. Spirit says, keep your mouth shut. That's not going to help. Amen. Amen. So we can pray. The Psalms are full of prayer. If you just read the Psalm, you can turn them into prayers. Turn them into prayers. I used to pray this. Before I went to work, I know Angela prayed it. Set a guard over my mouth. I know she prayed it because we talked about it. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Don't let me say nothing to them evil folks. Keep my mouth shut. I want to keep my heart right with you. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we talked about number one. Ask for help. Number two. Okay, number three. We have to be a doer of the word. Is that 2 minutes? Is that 2 minutes left? Oh, Jesus. Okay, be a doer of the word. Okay, when we find out what the word says, we have to do it. No, we're not going to do a part two. Now, listen, write this down. James 1 and 22. Be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only, because we deceive ourselves. So it's not enough to just come to church, hear the word. We have to do the word. Because if we don't, we are fooling ourselves. Don't fool yourself. We have to do the word. And then number four, think before you speak. And I want to use think as an acronym. And many of you may have heard this. Before you say something, let it pass through these words. T, is what I'm saying true? Is what I'm saying helpful? It might be true, but is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? Or is it putting somebody down, putting the situation down? T-H-I-N, N is necessary. Is it necessary for me to say this? Am I gossiping or am I passing on pertinent information? K, is it kind? Think, that's natural. That is a natural way for you to control your mouth, And the scriptures I had for that was Colossians 4 and 6, and I'm just going to read it. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. And the final scripture is Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.